Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Blizzard Watch, the podcast where we watch Blizzard and they've not been making it easy lately. They've been doing all sorts of things. Suddenly, Blizzard is very active. I'm your host, Matt Rossi, and with me this week are two just absolutely fantastic co-hosts. First up, because I don't usually introduce her first, I'm going to introduce her first. It's Anne Stickney, who does literally everything all the time. She's constantly here. I'm positive there's a robot army of Anne's somewhere.
I do everything except for Sir Amar. I really need to get around to that.
She's so busy. Sir Amar is the one place you don't find.
You're killing me here.
I'm sorry. I do a lot.
Since we're killing him here, we might as well introduce him. Also with us, as he's always the case, Alex Zibart.
Hello.
Alex does do Sir Amar.
I do. And of all people in the world, the number one person who should be doing Sir Amar isn't Anne.
Okay, you know what my workload looks like, Alex.
Yeah, but you said you're leveling into alt. You don't need an alt before you do Sir Amar.
Well, yeah, I do, because the druid stuff is really kind of fascinating. And Sir Amar also, I have like a rogue that I still have to get into. Yeah, I know.
Sir Amar's better.
I know. I have vacation time coming up. Man, I will be doing nothing but druid, rolling around in Elf Town nonstop. Okay.
Actually, I think Sir Amar City would be an awesome place for rogue. I've considered leveling my rogue just to be like a sneaky thief around there.
I don't know, right?
If you can pickpocket like those crowds of elves, that would be amazing. That would be such a fantasy fulfillment.
Right. That's why the rogue is the next thing on my list of things to level, because I want to go Assassin's Creed on that city.
You can. It's great.
That is Sir Amar. Sir Amar is basically a chunk of Assassin's Creed right in the middle of WoW.
But all right, fantastic.
Top stories are usually what we do right about now, so we'll probably move straight on to those because, one really big one happened this week.
Yesterday.
Yesterday night while people were, like, I was being climbed on by an animal, so I didn't know about it right away. And when I heard about it, I was literally stunned. Like, I didn't think this was ever going to happen. I assumed they'd have to pry him out of there, like at 107 or something, but Chris Metzen is retiring.
He retired.
I think I should take the blame for this because I went to bed early last night.
Yeah, it's Alex's fault.
My girlfriend came to bed at like 10 and I woke up just from her moving around and I just out of habit checked my phone and I saw that and I was like, oh my God, why was I asleep? And I got up and was up for quite a while after that.
Yeah. So
my going to bed early actually resulted in maybe like 3 hours of sleep.
My birthday's next week, and I wanted it to be a happy birthday, but now I'm like, Dad left the building. What?
I read the announcement, and I mean, I can't fault his logic.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
If I had kids, I'd want to spend as much time with them as possible.
Well, and quite frankly, that man has poured his heart and soul into that company for how many years now?
Since Warcraft.
Over 20, almost 25. Yeah. I think he's at 22 years, something like that, working for the same company. So if any man has earned his retirement, it would be Chris Metzen. I expected we'd see him hit the 25-year mark. But yeah, he has a new kiddo who's adorable, and he wants to spend time with his family, which I completely get. Like, I mean, of course, sure. You'd want to go ahead and do that. And experience all of, you know, the first words and the first talking and the first standing up and walking around and all that stuff that kids do. That's cool. It's just, he's Blizzard, you know?
Yeah. It is very Blizzard. Much. I mean, obviously, you know, logically speaking, there are lots of people who make Blizzard games happen. There's lots of people who do the writing and storytelling and all of that. But, yeah, I mean, we've all, you know, you guys have been to BlizzCon. I've never even gotten to go. But, I mean, we've all watched him at the speeches, you know, the opening ceremonies. It's going to be, I don't even know what they're going to do, like, at this BlizzCon. Is he not going to be there?
I don't know. Like, I don't know. I imagine if he does show up, and I can't imagine him not being there, at least, you know, a little bit in some capacity, but not as the dude on stage talking, just as one of us nerds walking around observing things. Yeah, which, different, weird.
It's hard to imagine not having him open it up, because
I know, right? I don't know how they're gonna do the opening ceremonies without him. Yeah. Because he was the talking guy.
There are other people at Blizzard I like and enjoy, but none of them have the charisma.
They aren't the hype man. Yeah. I think the closest thing they have to the hype man is Ben Brode, and he does Hearthstone pretty much.
Yeah, he's specifically Hearthstone. He's a
little bit more, he's real good.
He's a little bit more of the goofball man, though. Like, Brode will make you laugh, but he won't necessarily hype you up.
Yeah.
He's not the human hype train like Metzen was, but he's charisma, but not that kind of charisma.
Yeah, and I was lucky enough to talk to Metzen one-on-one on a couple of different occasions. And I mean, you know, you call it like the hype or whatever, but that's just him. Like, that's how he interacts with people on a daily. This is a man who absolutely loves every aspect of his life, and it shows. Like, he just shines with it. So, you know, good on him. I hope he goes and throws. If he throws half as much enthusiasm into his family as he did in his day-to-day at Blizzard, that's going to be one heck of a family, you know?
Quite frankly, I think he needs to dial it back.
Nah. He's going to go be world's most awesome dad. Because he's been the most awesome dad of Blizzard for 20 years.
There's going to be some incredibly, like, you know, there's some teenagers going, oh, God, Dad's just wearing the outfit again.
He just walks around the house with a Doom hammer. You know that video of him trying on Duratan's hat? He actually kept like the hat, the wolf hat and the cape, and he's just going to wear that around the house.
Yeah, and something I think is telling about Metzen is I never actually approached him at BlizzCon because I don't approach people in general. I was like, cool, he's here, awesome, I'll keep going. But, you know, everybody who I've spoken to who did stop and talk to Metzen were like, you know, this man had a conversation with me. He asked if I was having a good time and so forth. It wasn't like a lot of times you'd say hi to these people and just like, oh, hey, and they just kind of scurry off pretending they have something to do. No, Metzen's going to stop and talk to people, and he always did, and unless he had somewhere, actually had
he
somewhere
just
to
gets
be.
It. He gets people. But, he gets the whole nerd community, because he's like King Nerd in there, you know? So yeah, it's going to be really weird without him.
I mean, a lot of people have been saying, like, seeing him retire and not move somewhere else, I think that speaks to the fact that I don't think he could go anywhere else.
No, I don't think he could.
I mean, even companies started by people that left Blizzard, even companies full of people he knows, it's still not the same thing, because it really is. When you said he is Blizzard, I think I wrote that in the email, because it really does feel like this man is Blizzard. I know other people are involved in all this, and I know those people are still there. You know what I mean? And I know that they have honestly, I find myself wondering if the reason Chronicle happened was because he wanted to leave a blueprint behind.
I don't know.
You know, like there's a certain, and someone else, I think it was Taryn Gregory or maybe, oh God, I can't remember who he was talking to. I'm completely blanking. She works at Wowhead.
Percula?
Yes, thank you, Percula. We're talking, and one of them said that, you know, the last voiceover role he did, the last big voiceover role he did was Varian. On the Broken Shore. And
break my heart.
You find yourself wondering if that influenced that decision. Like, instead of leaving Varian behind to be voiced by other people and to be written by other people, you know, he goes out.
I think, I don't think necessarily, I don't think that connects, but certainly what does resonate is Thrall. You know, the way Thrall is didn't necessarily make the most compelling gameplay, but Thrall was definitely Metzen's life experiences, and the ups and downs of Thrall were Gris Metzen's ups and downs. And, you know, Thrall's at this point where he's put down the Doomhammer, and he has a family now. That's Gris Metzen. Thrall has always been Gris Metzen.
Well, yeah, I actually opened the queue to this week with a quote from Twitter when he said he's going to keep doing Thrall's voice because it makes him happy.
He is and, Thrall. It's just yeah, I don't.
Nobody else could do it.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, who you'd get to do that.
Anybody
you know?
Else would just sound wrong. It's got to be him. So, yeah. I imagine that he will probably, they may call him in to do like voiceover stuff every now and again, but I don't know. Good luck to him. I was shocked. I was shocked. I did not expect it like that out of the blue, especially with all that's gone on with Blizzard this year. I mean, Overwatch came out and Overwatch was kind of like, it felt like a labor of love for him. And it was a phenomenal success. Legion just came out. Everybody is loving Legion to bits so far. There's like so much going on that, you know, on an upswing. I guess if you're going to leave, you might as well leave on a high note, huh?
I mean, maybe that was kind of the final push that made him decide. You know, he had a kid on the way, but while this was happening, there was Legion in the works. There was rebuilding Titan into Overwatch. There was getting the Warcraft movie to the screen. He probably had some of the busiest years of his life right when he was also starting a family.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, you know, you definitely want to be able to devote that time.
When you look at the little list of, like, you know, the tick marks that you want to make next to life accomplishments, I think he's ticked off almost every single one. So, you know, he's going to be missed.
Yeah, I honestly can't imagine, not just the hype train and all that, but, you know, everyone who worked at Blizzard who's talked about it has said that, you know, he'd come into a room and he'd turn it into a great big story meeting. And he'd convince people that their contribution mattered, like whoever they were, like they were part of the process. So, yeah, it's a huge thing. It is enormous. I honestly feel weird talking about anything else this week, but, you know, unless we're going to make it the Chris Metzen Memorial Show, we probably should move on to other news stories.
Yeah, we have had some other stuff come out too, so.
Just to, you know, what I said on my Twitter this morning, I don't know how many people who listen to this actually on my Twitter, but Chris Metzen was a big deal to me personally in that, you know, I got interested in games mostly because of Blizzard games, StarCraft and all that, and when I learned who Chris Metzen was, I was like, I love this guy. And you know, I've had other, you know, I've had authors I liked and other developers I liked and so forth. But if Chris Metzen hadn't been there as that kind of inspiration, I probably wouldn't be writing for Blizzard Watch. I would not be running this site. I would not have written my books. I don't think I would have done any of that if Chris Metzen wasn't there as the example.
Yeah, it's definitely something to think about. But yeah, okay. Moving on, as hard as that is to move on from, Machines of War for Heroes of the Storm is out. And also, Alarak is out for StarCraft as well.
No, Alarak is in Heroes of the Storm.
He's also coming out for StarCraft. They're doing the StarCraft mission thing too. At the same time.
Right.
Oh, okay.
I forgot StarCraft was a thing anymore. Like, I knew it existed, but I didn't know. I forgot they
don't really talk about it so much anymore.
No. Yeah, I guess they're doing stuff. I just forget about it because they're really bad at telling people about it.
But, you know, the thing they are good at talking about, Heroes of the Storm, yeah, that's out right now. They've one of the things that I found interesting was that they've changed their system around so that you're only going to get, like, certain maps. Like, yeah. Did you see that? That was interesting. Yeah, the new maps for a while.
I think it's temporarily, just so you can, to increase the odds of you getting the brand new maps in the rotation. Like, I think Dragonshire is out for a while.
Yeah.
And it's until, like, the end of October, at which point they're going to set it all back so you get all of the maps again.
Yeah.
But for now, they slimmed it down.
But yeah, that's out.
Alex, can you just, because you're more familiar with Heroes of the Storm than either of us, I think.
Sure.
Can you give us just the brief rundown on what is this Machines of War thing exactly?
It's just, it's a themed event. It's StarCraft themed, which is kind of giving them an excuse to do a big, like, StarCraft content dump.
Okay.
They did this before with Diablo, when they put out a couple of Diablo maps, and they released, like, Karzim and...
Oh, yeah, the whole, like, Heaven and Hell thing.
Yeah, the Eternal War, or whatever they called it, I don't
yeah.
remember.
Okay.
So this is kind of the same
thing.
So
this is a StarCraft-themed version of that, pretty much.
Yeah, there's two new StarCraft maps, they're releasing Alarak, and, Zarya? That's StarCraft, I guess? It's Overwatch.
Zarya.
I don't know why
now,
Zarya.
She's not out yet, right? She doesn't come out for a while.
No, she's not out for another couple of weeks. And Okay. Actually, only one of the two maps is currently active. The other one is going to release probably when Zarya does, and then that one will get put into the new slim map rotation.
See, then, it's going to be weird when D.Va plays Heroes to play the StarCraft event, and there's Zarya in Heroes.
I still want D.Va.
D.Va's going to be so jealous.
Talking to, like, Kerrigan and Nova and Rainer. Yeah.
I think that D.Va would be a strong... I'm glad that they're putting Zarya in, though, because honestly, I think Zarya is a pretty cool addition to Heroes of the Storm. The other character that I really want to see in Heroes of the Storm from Overwatch, I want to see Lucio in there.
Yeah.
I think that Lucio would add, like, a pretty cool new dynamic support kind of thing.
Yeah,
I'd love to see him in there.
Heroes of the Storm is really good at getting me interested in playing characters I didn't actually like in their original game. I mean, Alarak's voice acting was great, of course, but the actual character, I was like, who is this weirdo? What's he doing in my StarCraft game? Why is there a Sith Lord here? And I didn't really like him in Legacy of the Void, but I saw his gameplay trailer today, the Spotlight, and I was like, I want to play him. I want to play that character. He looks so fun. That looks so cool. Let me get my hands on Alarak.
I like their little preview trailers that they do that kind of, like, showcase stuff. Those are great.
Yep.
All right. I think at this point, just because you guys talked about it already, the Legion Companion app came out last week. Did we talk about it last week? Because I don't think we did.
I think we mentioned it very briefly because I think it came out the day that we did the podcast. But
yeah.
It was more like, I downloaded this, but I haven't had a chance to play with it yet.
Well, now you two have basically just revealed that you're both, like, you know, leveling your alts through the companion app.
Yeah.
So.
This is the awesome part, right? Okay, so you could do missions. You could do missions from your order hall. You could do them through the app, which is great because if you don't actually log on to that character and play it very often, particularly in the early levels, you get a lot of missions that give you XP, and there's also a bonus roll chance of extra XP. I have gained almost an entire level on Hattie in the past week without logging on to her, and that's fantastic.
Well, do you still have do you know how many order resources you have left?
Quite a few. I think I've got like 700 or something.
Yeah, well, that's going to go pretty quick, because doesn't a mission take 100 resources or something?
I don't know. I do know that I have drained them quite a bit, but that's okay, because in our, like, questing and doing stuff on the leveling stream, I'm going to get it all back again, and that'll fuel another week's worth of stuff.
Yeah,
so...
I'm not too concerned about, like, my Warlock still has some left from the leveling stream, and we're going to play Thursday, and I'll get more, so that's not a problem, but I have my Priest alt. It's like level 102.
Yeah.
And I ran out of resources because I was just doing the missions. I'm like, oh, I actually have to play this alt again now.
Yeah, no, I've been playing my alts. Like with my druid, it's been very nice on my druid because my druid I've been playing like on and off and kind of leveling her as I go. But when I'm logged on and I'm leveling her, I make it a point to go find all of the treasures where, you know, the ones that I remember where they were anyway, because they've got order hall resources in them. So I'm just kind of like constantly feeding my druid a stream of those things. So even when I'm not playing, I'm not going to run out, which is helpful.
Yeah, I just have to take my I think my priest is only halfway through Stormheim or something, so I can just go do some more quests and be good for another few weeks.
All I have to say, though, is this is a really handy app, and I wish, on the one hand, I wish that we'd had it for Warlords. On the other hand, I don't think that it would have been as efficient with Warlords, because Warlords had so much going on with missions and things like that. I mean, let's face it. I didn't use the add-on for the longest time, but once I picked up Master Planner, I was like, I'm never living without this ever again, because this is amazing. It made things so much more streamlined and simple. And it feels like the Legion Companion app took some cues from Master Planner and what Master Planner did, and kind of like streamlined things to the point where it's like, okay.
Plus, I mean, one of the things I like about the Order Hall missions versus Garrison missions is because it's not just – because it's a different kind of system, you have less – you know, you have a few champions, like up to six or so. Like you have like five out at any given time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have five out at any given time. Then you have the weird little followers you can recruit, and they're like sort of perishable. Like they can – you use them up.
They expire, yeah.
Yeah, so there's
I like more. Those guys, though. I like them so much more than trying to keep track of who has what buff.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of because it's more streamlined and simpler. It's actually there's more play to it as opposed to with the Warlord system where it was just do anything to get it up to 100% success.
Right, and with this one, it's pretty easy to get it up to 100% because it's just like counter that thing. Okay, I'll add one of these little dudes that bumps up the mission completion chance or whatever. And I don't think I've ever sent anybody out under 100%.
Yeah, but that's not wasted because you have more after you get to 100%, there's chance to get
the bonus roll.
The bonus roll. So
and I have been quietly raking in a little bit of gold, nowhere near the insane amounts that you got from the garrisons and Warlords of Draenor, but the gold missions that they send you on, usually they have a bonus roll chance of getting even more gold, and I've gotten pretty good about landing those too. I love this app. I really do. The only
frustrating
thing
to me
what
that the companion app and the armory aren't the same app.
Yeah, I kind of wish that they'd like add them together, like swoosh them together and make them one thing. The other thing that I wish that the Legion app had that it does not, I wish it would let you check on Nomi. Because as it stands right now, I have to like consciously remember to go figure out what Nomi's doing over in the inn in the middle of nowhere. Like there's nothing that organically ties me to going and checking Nomi.
There's no reason
I would love
to
be able to do that from the app.
You go see Nomi if you have a fetish for food that's been burned.
Hey, he's giving me recipes.
He gave me so much crap over like 2 weeks, like just burnt food after burnt food. I have, I think, 20 work orders waiting to be collected. I haven't even gone there to get them and refresh them.
Okay.
I don't care.
Yeah, he's given me like he still gives me like the piles of burnt garbage, which is okay, whatever. It's vendor fodder. Okay, I don't care. But I've also gotten like several upgraded recipes from him. It not at first. It took a while for it to kick in, but when it kicked in, now it's like, oh, okay. So you're giving me 2-star versions of these recipes that I had already learned and they have better effects. Awesome. So
I wish instead
there's a
of
point
burnt
to him. He's just not integrated as well as he could be, I think.
Well, there's a few problems. Well, number one, getting burnt food sucks. I mean, if he didn't give me a recipe or if he just gave me like something I could eat to regen health, like just something, like does he have to give me stats? Just like basic health regen. I'd be like, okay, well, this isn't great, but I can make use of this. Fine. The other thing is I don't think there's any way to see what you've given him if you've given him more than one thing.
Nope.
Or what he's completed, if he's completed more than one thing?
Nope.
Like, do I need to give him more fish to get a certain recipe? Or does he already have 1,000 fish he's working on?
I don't know. I don't know. I just shovel all my mats at him and go, here, make stuff out of this. And he's like, okay. And then I return later and he's like, look, I've made you charcoal. And I'm like, great. And then I turn around and sell it to somebody right in front of him because I'm like, I don't want this.
If that was edible and had flavor text like this is burnt, but it was still edible and gave me a little bit of health back, I would be okay with that. I would make use of that. I would still be going to know me for things. Like,
on the one hand, I think that the whole like thing that's going on right now where everybody is trashing the Garbage Panda Chef right now, I think that that's kind of funny. And on the other hand, it's almost kind of like sad because you're the one that trained him.
I didn't teach him to make charcoal.
He learned it all from watching you.
I could go to that kitchen where he's standing and make better food.
Right. Like, you weren't a very good teacher is basically what I'm trying to say. He may be a garbage panda, but you're a garbage teacher. So there's that.
Like, I know there's no realism in World of Warcraft, but like I can't think of a single person in this world who could have like 1,000 pieces of meat and burn 1,000 pieces of meat.
Oh, I know some people who could like burn cereal. They're like
something
that bad.
In there. Something in there would come out edible. It doesn't probably might not taste good. It might be tough.
But you could probably eat it.
You can probably eat it. Like he's literally turning all of the Broken Isles wildlife into charcoal. This is not possible.
The Broken Isles didn't exactly. They have a demon invasion going on. If they wanted it turned to charcoal, they could do it much more easily with the demons than have some panda do it.
Maybe he's secretly a dreadlord.
Well, that's like some person actually. I remember someone tweeted a picture of Gordon Ramsay saying they're going to change the name to the Naomi Legion because he burns everything.
But, you know. He is so bad that the Burning Legion is considering changing their name to the Nomi Legion.
And if he's genuinely burning everything this badly, he doesn't need to give it to me. He could just put it in his fire to keep the fire going. That's what charcoal's for. Just
well, yeah, but he wants to prove to you that he's been doing something. Now, we have been told that he does get better over time. We just don't know how long over time is. So until then, I'm just going to keep shoveling bits and pieces of the wildlife of the Broken Shores at this panda until he starts giving me the good stuff.
I'm
I've
the
got
opposite.
So much, yeah.
I've I'm
got
not
so much
going
stuff
to give
going
him
on.
Anything until he gets better.
So, yeah, that kind of deviated.
Yeah, but at this point, I think we've moved on. We've covered pretty much everything. So, Anne?
Oh, yeah. Hey, guys, there is 1 week left to get your hands on a Fjarn Skoggle shirt. Once that week is up, these things are going away and they are not coming back. So if you would like to wear the correct pronunciation of Fjarn Skoggle proudly across your chest, or if you just like the pretty design, because quite frankly, I worked really hard on it. I think it looks fabulous. You've got 1 week left to do that. And you can do that by going to, I think it's teespring.com/peculiar-plant. And that's where the campaign is at. So yeah, if you haven't gotten your t-shirt yet, you should get your t-shirt because I would like to see loads of these at BlizzCon. So
yeah, it's a week from today. If you're listening to this live, if you've downloaded this on like Thursday or whenever this goes up on the site,
you got less than a week and you better move. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So with that, we should probably get to the emails. And Rossi, you want to tell them how to contact us?
Sure thing. As is always the case, please send any emails to podcast@blizzardwatch.com. We take questions on pretty much any subject, just as long as it's about Blizzard games. I mean, if you ask me a question about Game of Thrones, probably not going to answer it. I don't watch Game of Thrones. Didn't like the books all that much. Wow. I've now invited all sorts of angry emails.
I was
going to
say, you're going to have so many angry people.
Yes, but anyway, yeah, send the emails to the site at that address, podcast@blizzardwatch.com. If you can, it would be nice if you could keep them relatively short. I mean, you know, 300 words or less is really great. Just because sometimes there were a couple emails this week that were a bit longer than articles that we run. So, yeah, those are probably not going to get used.
Yeah, I'm not reading that much. Sorry, guys. Speaking of reading things, though, our first email is from Winterwolf at Dathramar Oceanic, who says, "Hello, Watchers. As far as we know, Gul'dan and the Legion are acting on behalf of Sargeras. If Azeroth is truly the final Titan, wouldn't it make sense for Sargeras to come over and just destroy it himself? He picked one job for himself, so why doesn't he just come over and finish it? Obviously, this cannot happen in-game, since that would mean game over for us, but logic tells me that it doesn't make sense that he keeps sending the Legion, aka Team Rocket, to do a job they don't seem to be able to finish when he should be able to do it himself. Any thoughts on what could keep him from doing it? Thanks. Keep up the good work, Winterwolf. Winterwolf, thank you so much. Gul'dan is now Meowth. So, thoughts, you guys?
Well, I mean, it's pretty, if you remember the actual original War of the Ancients, just because demons can come through the portal doesn't mean Sargeras can.
He's big, y'all.
Sargeras is, you know, as we now know that Titans are planets. They're the souls of planets. Azeroth itself has a Titan for a soul. So Sargeras, in order to get through the portal, at the time, they even talked about it. If you read War of the Ancients, the portal had to be made much, much larger. Much more powerful. They needed way more energy than they were getting out of the Well of Eternity.
Just to accommodate him.
And when they stopped him by sending one orc through with a magic weapon. All that orc had to do was scratch Sargeras. And that created an imperfection that made it impossible for him to step through the portal as it was. And keep in mind that the portal at that point was so big that when it got slammed shut, it took most of Kalimdor with it. Like, this thing was enormous, and it still wasn't big enough for him to get through. Just because one orc gave him a scratch. Like, not even, like, didn't, it's, this is a, the rough equivalent of, like, a tiny chihuahua running in and chewing on your shoe for a couple seconds, and you go, get off! And that's it. That was enough to stop him from getting through the portal. So, yeah. It's not that he can't destroy the planet, although, you know, maybe he can't if the planet's actually fought, who knows. It's that he can't get here without the portal being a lot bigger.
Do we even know Sargeras' current status?
No.
Wasn't Kil'jaeden, like, commander of the Burning Legion because Sargeras was out of commission or something?
He was recuperating, because the thing is, like, his spirit was living inside of Medivh, and Medivh got his head lopped off. And the shock from that sent Sargeras into a kind of remission state thing, or at least that's how it was explained originally. We won't actually know what the real story behind that is until Chronicle Volume 2 comes out.
And
that's
Kil'jaeden,
supposedly going to cover all of that. So,
and just Kil'jaeden was having some trouble crawling up the toilet that was the Sunwell, and we flushed him back down. So, I mean...
Imagine you saw
toilet.
Him come clawing out of that thing. He was massive. And Kil'jaeden is like a speck compared to Sargeras.
Like, even when Archimonde got summoned through, in order to summon Archimonde through, they needed, you know, the Book of Medivh. They needed an enormous amount of power. They basically didn't they have to, like, use the Sunwell to reanimate Ner'zhul just so they had somebody powerful enough?
Kel'Thuzad.
Yeah, Kel'Thuzad, sorry.
Yeah.
Just so they had someone powerful enough to read the Book of Medivh to get the portal open to get Archimonde through?
Yes.
I mean, these guys, once you get to a certain level of demon, it's very hard to get through portals. The portals are not, they don't accommodate you. It's easier to send, like, the entire orcish population of Draenor through than it is to send one demon lord. That's why they were like, yeah, we'll use these orcs to invade planets because it's a lot easier to send them through. They're not bound to the Twisting Nether. They're not, you know, inherently corrupt. They're not, you know, it's all that. That's the reason why they use smaller groups rather than just send their big guys through all the time. It's a big deal when the big guys come through.
Yeah, and again, you know, there's a whole thing. We don't really know if Sargeras is in one piece right now. He wasn't last we knew. He wasn't when Kil'jaeden was trying to invade.
Yeah,
is Sargeras in the flesh actually directing this? We don't know.
Yeah, Kil'jaeden even comes out and says, you know, I will do what Sargeras could not. Like, when he's trying to come up through the Sunwell. So, yeah, we got no idea, like, what happened to Sargeras when Medivh got killed, where he went. There was that really weird bit in Wrath, when you did the Wrathgate, where it looks like Varimothras was working directly for Sargeras, but that's only in voice files. That was never acknowledged in the game. No, they never tell you who Varimothras was actually answering to. I mean, Varimothras gets yelled at by a voice, and he's like, yes, master, I'll do better. But he never says, yes, master Sargeras. He just says, yes, master. He'd have groveled just as much in front of Kil'jaeden or Archimonde as he does. You know what I'm saying? There's just no way to know who that was yelling at him.
What they said, I agree with. Also, I'm trying to figure out, between Kil'jaeden and Archimonde, which one is Jesse and which one is James. I mean, if we're going full Team Rocket here and Uldan is Meowth, then it stands to reason.
Kill Jaden is definitely Jesse. Archimonde is definitely James.
Okay. All right. Now that we've got that cleared up, let's go to the next email. Thank you, Winterwolf,
for that
email.
Aren't they even the appropriate colors?
I think they are.
There you go.
All right. Our next email is from Gorquen, who says, "Greetings, Watchers. I left Valshara feeling like I'd completed the mission I'd been sent in for. I'd got the Pillar of Creation like I was supposed to, and that was that. But then later I realized that Xavier still has the original Tear of Alun. Do you think this will come into play later? Thanks, Gorquen."
There's an entire raid coming up that may or may not answer that question.
Yeah, I was going to say, he shows up in the Nightmare Raid, which hasn't opened yet. Has it got like another week or 2 weeks?
A week. It's next, the 28th, I believe. The 27th or 28th. It's
for when it opens on, I think it's, is it normal yeah. and heroic? Or
should be normal and heroic. I
and
know
then
it's
LFR comes like a week or two after that, right?
LFR and Mythic, both LFR Wing 1 and Mythic open the week after.
Okay.
Then LFR Wing 2 and then LFR Wing 3.
Okay. So, yeah, theoretically, that question should be answered there. But, yeah, Xavier still has it. Valshara was sad.
Yeah.
Really. That's all I have to say about that, is Valshara was really sad. And I've been kind of avoiding doing it on my Druid just because I don't want to watch that cinematic again. But I do, yeah. But I don't.
It didn't really get me until that cinematic.
Yeah.
God.
It was brutal. Taryn Gregory, we're shaking our fists at you and the entire cinematics team.
The thing about Valshara for me, yes, the Tear of Alun thing bugged me quite a bit, that mm-hmm. we don't know what happened to it. I was actually way more interested, not way more interested, that's not the right term. I guess I felt more uplifted by the Blackrook Hold stuff.
Yeah. I kind of want to know what happened after that.
Yeah, like I definitely want to see what goes on in the future.
Because you left the Wonder Twins, only they aren't twins, they're just brother and sister. But you left them behind there on a fairly upbeat note, and then you don't see them again.
That was the most upbeat note I've ever seen from Eye of Shadow Song.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Right?
It was not just that. Like, I kind of wanted to see more of Bradensbrook, like just how they live in Valshara, because they've been there for a while.
Right.
And it helped
5 years? Like, what were they, people that, like, basically their boats didn't make it across the sea when they were trying to get to the Night Elf Town?
No. They left Gilneas before the Worgen curse even hit.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
None of them are Worgen. They left. They went. They set sail before any of that happened.
They saw that things were going south, and they said, yeah, see ya, and they left.
Yeah, that makes that weird thing where they talk just like modern Gilneans a little weird.
Little. Because
they're like, any friend of Greymane's is a friend of mine.
Yeah, they don't get unique.
Well, you're not really a friend of Greymane, are you?
Yeah, I mean, you see them getting, you know, attacked by the ghosts of Blackrook Hold, but you don't see them, like, living in Valshara. Like, what is their life like?
Yeah, like, when did they get there? What have they been doing? Why are they there? That would be kind of cool.
They pull in, if you do World Quest in Valshara, they pull in Celestine of the Harvest. Yeah. To be like the Worgen representative of druids there.
Yeah.
But it'd be cool. Like, do Bradensbrook, do they have druids? They live in Valshara.
Were they harvest witches? Did they have druids? Yeah. That'd be kind of cool.
That would be neat if they actually tied all that in, because that's one of the things I always thought was interesting about Gilneas, was for all their modern, quote unquote, modern high tech, you know, steampunkiness, they were the only humans. Yeah. But they were the only humans that still had that harvest witch tradition. So they had stuff that, compared to, say, Azeroth, like most, compared to Stormwind, they had stuff that was a lot more advanced. They had assembly line stuff. They had, you know, steam power and coal power. But they also had harvest witches and stuff that's much older and, you know, dates back to, like...
I'm kind of hoping that they dive into that a little bit in Chronicle Volume 2 as well, like the whole harvest witch thing and where that came from. Because
I honestly keep thinking I want to know
more about it.
Part of that's got to come from the fact that there are Night Elf ruins that tie directly into the Emerald Dream all around them. There's just one, like, just to the north, like, north of the dwarves, like, in the Hinterlands. And there's one just to the south in Darkshire. And Darkshire's weird. I know it's a part of Stormwind, but the people in Darkshire, I mean, they're very Gilneanian for people who are basically Stormwind people. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, and Gilneas itself has that tree that's like plopped right in the middle of it, so it would stand to reason that it's kind of leeching things and stuff to people. But I'm curious how that all came about, and I like I said, the whole harvest witch thing, I I hope we see more about that, because I find that particularly fascinating that they were druids without being druids.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, it's as much as I think, like, it was really cool and surprising to see Celestine of the Harvest pop up, because I don't think she's actually in any quests in Vel'Shara.
She is in the world quests, but you're right.
She's in the world quests, but when you're actually like questing there, she's
no,
not.
No, she's not there.
And then she kind of shows up like she's always been there. It's like, no, you're in Stormwind.
No, you just arrived. You got and here when we did.
So, like, it was really cool to see her show up, but it would have been cooler to have somebody from Bradensbrook be like, yep, I'm a human. I'm a druid. This is what's going down. Help me out.
Like the mayor's, was it the mayor's daughter? The one that sent you after the kid? Or was it the mayor's wife that sent you after? It was, yeah, she was cool. And she was kind of like surreptitiously like, yeah, the mayor's kind of stodgy, but if you go save his kid, so maybe you should go do that and then we'll help you out, because I don't really, you know, I think that'd be cool. Yeah.
But the other thing about that, too, is like, I mean, one of the things I like about Vel'Shara and indeed about all the zones is that they tie into the overarching story of the whole expansion.
Yeah.
But they also tie into the past.
Right.
Like, Vel'Shara keeps coming up. I feel like the thing about it when we first played through these things is they all have ends that they're kind of similar to like the Warlords of Draenor end zone stuff. Like, we got a couple of those. Like, we got one of those for like whatever the starting zone was for you. Like, if you were Alliance, it was Shadowmoon Valley, and if you were Horde, it was Frostfire Ridge. There was that big ending part with the cinematic and stuff. And then when you did Talador, there was a big ending part with the cinematic and stuff.
Yeah.
And then Negrand had kind of a middle part that was in with an ending because they were weird that way.
Yeah.
But you get that in a lot of these zones, even when they don't have cinematics, you still get it. Like, they all have like a big climactic moment. Like, High Mountain has one, Vel'Shara has one. But with world quests, it isn't the end.
No, it's not. It just keeps perpetually going, which I like this a lot.
And one of the other things I really find fascinating is when you do the world quests, like, and you go back, like, this one's for Azuna, but it still applies to Vel'Shara too. Like, he mentions that stuff is leeching in from Suramar. That stuff is coming down and invading Azuna from Suramar. And you knew that already because there's Nightfall and we're all over the bloody place. But he just comes out and says it. Yeah, it's whatever they're doing in Suramar, it's affecting us now. And in Vel'Shara, like, they not only do you have the nightmare and all that stuff, there are quests where there's just straight up, yeah, these demons are coming in from Suramar. And I really liked the idea that everything ties back together. And the Vel'Shara ending, is honestly, it's, I cared a lot more about that than I did about Malygos. Like, Malygos, it felt like, you know, okay.
Malygos wasn't quite supported enough.
Yeah. Right. Whereas this, you actually felt like you felt it even while you were doing it.
Yeah.
You know, you felt like, oh, man, please tell me there's like a 5%.
Oh, no, stuff is going down and this is bad. Yeah.
Please let there be a 5% reset. There's not a 5% reset because I've been hitting execute and it's, yeah, geez. Yeah. So, yeah, that's
yeah.
And the way it's set up too, for all that it doesn't really play out, it doesn't play off the way I hoped it would, because you do Darkheart Thicket and everything's fine. But there's a really good moment in Vel'Shara, that the moment where she, you know, where Tyrande just goes, nope, got to go back to the temple. Mm-hmm. And I like how that worked. I like how it played out. I like the setup because it does something we have never done in WoW, in that it actually deals with all this stuff. And that's why the Blackrock Holds quest I did last night that I'm not going to talk about, it touches upon all that history that we've had and never really dealt with.
Yeah.
For this whole time.
And I love it. I love it so much.
To give it a little more time before I straight up spoil it, I will be vague about it. Another thing I really liked about Vel'Shara is it's kind of the first time, I think, that we get a real indication that Illuna's a thing.
Yes.
Like, yeah. it's an actual entity as opposed to like something that may or may not be there and they just have like star magic or whatever.
Well, there's like one quest in Ashenvale that sort of points you in that direction.
Yeah,
they don't
say it outright, but you hear a voice and it's like this calming, soothing voice, and it helps you out to purify a satyr that's like hanging out in a village out there. If you haven't played through Ashenvale's quest, you should play through Ashenvale's quest. Go back and do it, just particularly for that little tiny tidbit.
Yeah, and but this was like straight up, Illuna's a thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely a thing.
Yeah. You don't know what it is. But it,
wow.
It's like it sets up so many other questions. It's like this just raises further questions. Seriously, because it does. It really. And honestly, I mean, I like all the zones. I do. I think they're all good. And
they've
I
each
honestly,
got like their ups and downs, really.
Yeah. I'm actually
I still find Azuna questionable.
Azuna, the central core of Azuna is really good. Like the
I love Azuna. Like every time, I love it. I have
for me.
It has none of these zones. I'm like on alt number 3. Yeah, because the druid is number 3. Because I had like the shaman that I got to 110, and I'm working on Hattie very slowly with y'all, and then I also have the druid, and I have yet to get tired of anything. So that's good.
Yeah, I mean,
for me,
kinda like
Azuna.
Go ahead.
No, for me, like, I think I'm actually just going to say what you're going to say, so you should say it.
It's, and those two main story quest chains are really good. Everything outside of there is, it seems almost vanilla WoW in quality to me, how, like, lame it is. And I'm at the point where it was kind of I made it clear in the last live stream, you know, doing those central story quests, great, but then let's get the hell out of this zone. Everything else I can do without it.
See, I don't feel as negatively about it as you do, but I definitely feel like once you do the main story quest of Azuna and you find out about the Tide Zone and what Azshara did, and you get to the part where you're going to go into the Eye, and then you're like, okay, go help these guys out of the Demon Portal, and that's just kind of like, okay, well, we should, but yeah, and
then
is something going to happen here? Is this just setting up for a world quest later? And then you go and there's a little imp demon, and it's like, yeah, I don't want to do this.
I did that. I missed that my first two go rounds in there, and I finally found it again the other day on the druid, the imp quest. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the imp quest. I thought it was fun. I like the fact that it's not all doom and gloom. There is a little bit of lighthearted in there.
And there's that whole section down in the south that kind of makes no sense and invalidates itself. Like, you go down there.
Oh, the arena with the giants and things?
Yeah, and like, and there's that area where like they're obviously pirates, they're obviously not good people, but you do a bunch of quests to help them. It's like, okay, maybe they're good pirates, but then you get to world quests and the prince dude is like, we have to drive these pirates out of Azuna and go kill them. It's like, why did I even help them then?
Well, honestly, you helped them because even pirates are better than demons. I mean, there's a hierarchy here. It's like the opposite hierarchy of
needs. Demons though.
No,
you helped them fight crab people.
You did help them fight demons because it was a demon who was sending the crab people after them.
Whatever. And I helped that, like, walrus pirate get away from giants. And that was an irritating quest chain, dodging giants and, like, throwing weapons at people. Yeah.
Oh, we found a way for Alex to be grumpy.
The central part of Azuna, great. Everything on the outside, why is it here?
Haru is pointing out, and I did catch this and found it kind of amusing, the giants were doing pet battles with actual people.
That's true.
That's kind of pretty much what they were doing. They collect people like Pokemon and pit them against each other. Yeah, that's what was going on there. It all ties back to Pokemon, guys. All right, so our next email doesn't have a name on it. It does. Excuse me, Broody. All right. So it says, hello, it's Broody from Kael'thas. I have a question. I've been enjoying Legion a lot, but since I returned from a break, I came back to find all my old friends changed from Alliance to Horde. I've never played Horde, so I'm not sure what to play, and I don't have a preference class-wise. I love Warrior, so I wouldn't mind trying something new. What do you all suggest?
Well, honestly, I'm going to suggest you don't try something new when you try a warrior.
Okay.
I mean, really, what else would I suggest? In terms of race, though,
I think that we've been trying a whole bunch of different classes between us, though. So.
Oh, yeah, I have. I will say this. Quite frankly, I love Death Knights right now, and Demon Hunters are fun as heck. And even, like, I know Alex does not like Ret Paladins right now, but I'm starting to like my Ret Paladin just because the lore is so freaking amazing for Paladins in this expansion. That's Paladins true. Get a lot of lore. Maybe go try playing Holy and do the mixed thing. Because Paladins got a ton of lore. But do the Ret Paladin quest just so you get to see the guys in it. There's some amazing stuff in there. And the Paladin quest hall, like, there's a point where you have to round up everybody, including like the two big Horde Paladin heroes, Lady Liadrin and a Pony Brightmane, and they're well voice acted and they do cool things. The whole thing is really good.
Okay, so if a pony is there, I want to know is, oh my God,
Desco,
I forgot.
Yes.
Yeah, Desco. Is he there? Yeah?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Good. Good.
A pony
I was hoping they didn't
the...
forget about him because I liked Desco.
Pony is there as the leader of all Tauren Paladins.
Well, she was
Desco's
the one that
just
essentially
there.
Refounded the Order, so.
She's also yeah. the biggest Tauren you're ever going to see. She's huge. She's really big.
She got so, taller?
Yeah, she's,
you know
she's
how,
really
huge. You know some class halls don't really... Some class halls have, like, some notable NPCs, and some of them don't really have any. The Paladin class halls, like, every Paladin you've ever seen in questing ever is there.
If they're not there, it's because they're dead.
Yeah, it's people, like, you haven't thought about since 2004. Pff, they're there. They're in the class hall. It's
there's a point
pretty wild.
You, there's a point where you go in, and, you know, everyone points out the Paladin pals and stuff, and that's great. But there's a point where you go in there, and you're like, oh, my God, it's that guy from the original quest to get the hammer, Verrigan's Fist.
Really?
That guy is there.
Oh, my gosh.
Everybody is there.
On my RP server, I played in Standard Circle, like, way back in the day in vanilla, like, there was kind of this unspoken thing that the Paladin trainer was Lord Grayson Shadowbreaker. Like, he was the master paladin of Stormwind. You went to him to train your skills. That was just what your role players did. You went to that guy. And that guy is, like, the dude who hangs out by the mission table in the Paladin class hall, like, in his brand new gear and everything. It's like, that guy is still the guy. That's awesome.
Yeah, like, the Maxwell Tyrosius is a big deal. The Brotherhood of the Light's involved. It's like the Paladins really do get a lot of lore. So I'm going to say this. If you're looking for a class that you've not played or that you may haven't played in a while, because the thing is that Red Paladins are kind of, if you've played Paladins before, they might confuse you and they've taken a lot out. But if you've never played them before, you're not going to know about that stuff. And you just get this lore banquet where it's just constantly. I wrote a KYL about it this week. I don't read it because it will spoil the heck out of you. But yeah, there's just so much stuff going on. Priests have a really cool class hall. Warlocks have a really cool class hall. The hunters, I've heard some hunters don't like the hunter class hall, but to my mind, hunters have a lot of really cool people at their class hall.
Okay, yeah. Speaking as somebody that's playing a hunter, I love the lodge. I think it's fantastic. I think it's great. I think it's cool that we have a little hunter place to hang out at. There's like animal heads from all over Azeroth and beyond hanging on the walls and all kinds of weapons and things. And there's a whole bunch of notable hunter NPCs all over the place. And yeah, I really like it. I haven't gotten to the point where I'm doing any class hall campaigns for hunter yet, but so far I've really enjoyed what I've done so far.
The Rogue Hall is cool. All of
I
the
love
artifacts,
the Rogue Hall.
Cool. Outlaw is the one I wanted to play, and I think it's probably the one lots of people want to play. The pirate guy you work for that, I could do without him, but that's all right. He's kind of a generic, yar, I'm a pirate, me matey. Like, shut up, dude. Be interesting, please. But the rest of the class hall and the quests are really good. It's a fun place just to hang out into, like the black market auction house is down there. You get a personal black market auction house. Very thematic.
It's just seedy. It's just seedy enough. I quite like it.
So we've done very little to actually help you in any way to narrow anything down.
I personally also want to speak up because I have been playing the Druid. I really love the Druid quest and I love the Druid class hall like you would not believe. There's a lot of lore involved there too. Maybe not the same kind of thing as you run into with the Paladin stuff, but if you're interested in that kind of thing, Night Elves in particular, I think they just feel right with the Druid class
they're
hall.
They're going Horde.
If you're going Horde,
go Tauren.
Yeah, because High Mountain will be fun for you.
Yeah.
For practicality purposes, you said Warrior, but I don't know if you played DPS or Tank. If you played Tank and you want to continue being a Tank, Prop Paladin would be a good choice. Don't go Druid because I think Bears are dumb.
I'm going to say this much for
Bears are awesome.
Here's what I'm going to say in defense of playing a Warrior. If you play a Warrior, one of the things that will happen is Skyhold, which is your Warrior class hall. As you go to various places in the world, you will get a teleport from Skyhold to those places. But when you teleport to them, you don't teleport to them. You jump to them. Like freaking the Hulk.
Yeah, what's funny is my girlfriend plays a mage, and I was talking about the warrior teleport. She's like, oh yeah, I have those too. It's like, oh, does it go to the same places? And I kind of pointed out the towns the warrior teleport goes to. The warrior jumps down to like the main hub of each zone. Mage ends up on like some rooftop in the middle of nowhere. So the warrior teleport is way better than the mage teleport, which is weird, but awesome.
Yeah, I played my Death Knight today, and the thing with the Death Knights is they don't have that, but what they have is they have Deathgate. And the way Deathgate works, you teleport to your class hall, and then you just cast it again, and you go back to where you were when you cast it.
It's the same with any class hall that has a teleport to get to it. So, like with druids, you've got the whole dream walking thing, whatever. If you teleport there, if you hit the teleport again, it'll take you right back where you were. So, and I'm not sure if it's like that with everybody, but I know that with druids anyway, you hit dream walk, you go to the dream grove thing, and you hit dream walk again, and it'll pop you right back to where you were questing.
For this expansion, I'm going to say Torin.
Would the monk work that way? Is the monk class hall like the peak of whatever?
Oh, it's not the peak of Serenity.
We don't want to talk about like spoilers for that. But no, the monk works the same way and has always worked the same way. If you use Zen meditation to get to wherever, I'm assuming that it works the same way now. Because when I was leveling the monk with the invasions, what I did was I'd be like down in Tenaris and I'd use the Zen teleport to go to Peak of Serenity. And Peak of Serenity had a portal to Orgrimmar that I could use, and then I could just pop up to Ashar or whatever. And when I wanted to go back to Tenaris, I just hit Zen teleport again and it took me right back to Tenaris.
Yep. That's how my Alliance monk got over to Kalimdor all the time.
Yeah. Works real well.
So yeah, we've done absolutely nothing to narrow this down for you in any way, shape, or form.
Anadeus says in the chat channel that Zen pilgrimage changes in the quest line to go to the class hall. Okay. So yeah, it probably does the same thing. It goes backwards, but it takes you to the correct point. So that's fine.
Practicality purposes, if you played a tank warrior, just pick another tank class. You'll appreciate the dungeon queues. DPS queues are still 45 minutes to an hour long. It's doable.
Although at least now with world quests and stuff, you don't just have to sit around your thumbs waiting for something to do.
No, there's always something to do. I don't mind waiting in queue right now because I have like this perpetual stream of things that I can be doing. And it's not just queue up for a scenario while I'm queuing up for a dungeon. No, it's I have things to go out and accomplish while I'm in that queue.
The problem is I usually queue up for a dungeon because that dungeon is a world quest for that day and I really want to get it done.
Yeah. Well, I haven't gotten to that point yet because I'm bad.
That's why I've been tanking.
I'm just bad.
I struggled those queues because I was playing like my rogue and rogues can't tank or heal, so I just had to deal with it. This time around, I'm a warrior. I can tank. Screw your DPS queues. I'm not waiting for an hour. I'm just going to go tank.
Okay. So yeah, we're almost out of time, but the last email here is like really, really silly short, and it's just a quick mention. They said, did you hear about the Wildstar dev who was at a staff meeting and they had their phone notify them audibly about class hall missions? It was on Twitter.
Am I surprised that a developer for an MMO is also playing the most popular MMO on the market? No. It's probably really good for their job. What is World of Warcraft doing? Even if they're probably doing it for the enjoyment, but even if it was just work-related, seems reasonable.
Yeah, the tweet says, most hilarious thing today, hearing the WoW Legion mission sound coming from a phone right before we start our company meeting. Which is, that's pretty amusing, but
call it marketing.
Some of the people who used to work, who work on WoWstar now used to work on World of Warcraft even. I mean, it's just... That's the industry. There's World of Warcraft and there's everybody else.
Yeah, and I mean
when Wildstar came out, I was playing that for a while.
Yeah, I think if you are working on an MMO, it's a really good idea to not only play your own game. You need to know what people are doing. Like, yeah, Legion's fun. They're probably playing it for fun, but it's also really good knowledge to have. I mean, they should probably also be playing Final Fantasy, whatever number they're on.
And they're probably playing Final Fantasy, whatever, and they're probably playing Guild Wars or whatever else is out there. I mean, typically, people who work in game development and game design and things like that, you want to play all of the games because you want to see what people are really responding to. And if it's something that you aren't doing, well, maybe that's something you want to find some way to incorporate, that kind of thing.
And I think that applies to a lot of stuff. Like if you also need to be a reader.
Yeah.
You can't
put down words. You want to like read what other people are putting out. It's just, that's just part of being in whatever business you happen to be in. So anyway, on that note, that pretty much wraps us up for today. Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch, and your continued support means that this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience. And once again, reminder, Fjarn Skoggle shirt goes away in 1 week. So if you want to get your hands on that, go to teespring.com/peculiar-plant. Rossi?
This has been the Blizzard Watch podcast. If you have an email, please send it to podcast@blizzardwatch.com. And as always the case, any subject, we'd love talking about Blizzard games. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.